And I'm here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WJR Radio. Michael Hare, the Detroit Lions aficionado. Nick Roddy, WJR, as we talk Lions football. Hello, fellows.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
All right. Before we get started, I'm putting out the ground rules for this, since it doesn't happen often. Only it's happened twice this year. I'm not jumping off any bandwagon, or I'm not on a bandwagon after this loss. You people out there need to learn how to go along with a season. The naysaying and the panic mode that I've seen in the last 24 hours of this town takes me back to Marty Morning Wig days, Michael Hare, and I just don't understand. Is it just that this team is not the fan base? Is it a new fan base and Johnny come latelys? Because the old-time fans know what's going on. There's no panic. But the level of panic in the last 24 hours, it's just amazed me.
Well, I don't think it's I don't think they're Johnny come lately fans, not with what they've paid for tickets in the last couple of years. But look, it's a natural reaction, I think, when things don't come out the way you think they should, or the way you hope they would. And they certainly didn't in either case in the Sunday's game.
Okay, I can understand just saying I didn't like the game and I don't like what's going on. But what I've heard today is, they're not the Super Bowl favorites anymore. They're not going to the Super Bowl. They never were guaranteed the Super Bowl before the game. I don't know what – do people think just because you have the best record, you're guaranteed the Super Bowl? It's a one-game elimination. You got to play it out. The season is long. There's still three games left. I'm telling you, and it is Johnny-come-lately fandom. It is Johnny-come-lately fandom. I don't care what the ticket prices are. You got this whole new group. I remember when the Pistons got good, Mike. And yes. All of a sudden, people start hitting the palace with glitter dancing and everything, and everybody in suits and ties were out there on the weeknights, and it became the end place to be.
But hey, the you fans, were a suit and tie.
No, but I was – yeah, I do. But I was the fan that was at Cobo with Gus up in the top back when I was a kid. So I know, you know, how the Pistons were. So I'm not panicking. These are Johnny-come-lately fans. And I was at the game yesterday. I wouldn't walk the stadium just to look around and get the vibe of the fandom and everything. And plus, there were a lot of Buffalo fans yesterday too, which kind of bothered me, but that's another story I'll get to in a minute. I just feel that the panic level, and it's the talk shows too in town, I agree, and now you have the YouTube talk shows that don't have stations or whatever. They just, you know, broadcast from the house or their studios. The panic in these people is just amazing. They're 12-2. Did I miss that? Did you guys miss that?
12-2?
Yeah, they're 12-2.
How'd they do that?
Yeah, how'd they do the way you made it yesterday? It's over, you know, now.
Well, it is over.
Well, yeah, that game is over. That game is over.
I mean, I think people expected more after an 11-game win streak, and now you're virtually tied for the one seed. You're tied for the division. You still don't have anything locked up, really.
Why were they expecting more? You say that, but let's examine. Well, let's examine it.
Why were they expecting more? In any other division, if they were in the NFC West or the NFC South, they'd have the whole thing locked up right now. If they were in the AFC divisions other than the Kansas City division, they'd have everything locked up right now. So I think it's kind of – it's unfortunate that
– there's only two divisions that are locked up right now, right? The AFC East and Kansas City's. That's it.
And Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so there's four in each conference. So there's six others that have not been locked up. So where's this gratuitous you owe us?
What do we care about the other five?
No, I'm just saying
locked up or not.
I'm just saying this fan base is ridiculous. That's why they play 17 games. You don't go to the Super Bowl after 10 games. You don't go to 11. You play each week. Just calm down. I hate to do that.
We might not have enough players to play.
Well, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that because there are some problems. But we're going to get to that. First of all, you make the playoffs. You get the X by your name in the paper on the website. Then you get the Y so you can get your division. That's what we're working on next. Then you get the XY, which means you get the conference. Okay, you break them down. Nothing was decided yesterday except for you played a hell of a good team, and they whipped that butt. They whipped that butt. Okay? That's all I can say about it. And we'll talk about why they whipped that butt in a minute, but they whipped that butt. And the game wasn't as close as the final score.
Well, they did chip in at 42 points. I think that's worth something.
The last seven I discount. And when it was 35-21, was it 35-14? 35-14, game was over. Game was over. Anything happened after that, take it with a grain of salt. They put 35 up on you before you have 21 points. All right? That's just just the fact of the game.
Hold on a second. I want to do my math on this one. I don't think you're right.
Yeah. The change of the.
No, it was 35-21.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
35-14, and they got 21.
Fumble. I mean, it was 28-14.
No.
The Lions were going into score. St. Brown fumbled.
See young Buffalo Neil fight.
One up.
Yes.
21 points.
But that ain't where the game turned on. But being the young Neil fight that you are, I will explain it to you now.
Well, okay, let's
go ahead. Enlighten me.
The game changed when Bates missed that field goal right before halftime. You get it down to 4 points going into halftime. The whole second half changes. But you missed the field goal after they missed a gimme shot. You go down to get that field goal. You go into halftime at 21-17. Whole different game. Whole different game. That was the turning point in the game because they came right out of halftime. Bam, you down 14 again.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'll give you part of that. But Dan Campbell saying to Tracy Wolfson, this is the biggest drive of the game right here. We got to stop him first drive of the second half. 4 plays, 70 yards in under 2 minutes. How about you put some on the defense rather than Jake Bates?
No, I agree with that.
Season.
But you think Campbell would have said that? At 21-17?
Yeah, because they still hadn't stopped him.
I know, but it wouldn't have been the biggest drive in the game if it was 21-17. Campbell knew that if you got down 14 again right off the bat in the second half, that's hard to climb out of. Being down 10 is a little different. I'm telling you, trust KB. He comes and knows these things. That field goal. And I'm telling you right now, I ain't even mad at Jake Bates because he's won 3 games this year. But damn, he kicked it in the stands, man. I mean, he kicked it on the side of the net.
I
think he should get a point if he hit the net. I mean, he missed. How do you miss the net? So
easy. It's easy.
So anyway. 12-2. I'm not panicking. I'm not happy with the way the defense played. Well, you know what though? This game was coming for 3 weeks, fellas. Do you agree with me on that? They barely got by Chicago, which they could have lost. They got by that. The Green Bay game could have went either way too. And I felt it coming since Indy that they were going to have a clunker somewhere in there. And I'm glad it was this game because of all the games, this is meaningless to the NFC standings. It was an AFC game. So if they had to have a clunker, last night was it. And if you think they were going 16-1 into the playoffs, win 3 games, go to the Super Bowl, the way they are injury-wise and playing-wise, you're not living in the world that we all live in. It wasn't going to happen.
But another part of that is, Kenny, that I think, and it's not what we're talking about right at the moment, I'm sure we'll get into it, but I'm more interested in what's happening in the next 3 games, not what happened Sunday.
Right. But it all goes together. I think now Dan has their attention. I don't know how you feel about this. I think they were feeling themselves just a little too much the last month. You know, everybody's got a thing going, and I got a thing, you got a thing, everybody's got a thing. And it was it wasn't malicious, but I just felt the little slippage of attitude. Did you feel that in the last month? We're too good now. You know, we're talking the Green Bay game. We're doing stuff off camera with other teams and whatever instead of getting back to the grit that this team is.
I mean, we talked about it for how long? I mean, this team kind of ran up the score on other teams. And so I'm not surprised they finally had a game like this, and it might have come at the perfect time, like you said. I mean, it doesn't really mean anything in the standings when you're in the race for the one seed against Philadelphia because it's conference record as a tiebreaker. So, I mean, yeah, I kind of agree with you that eating a slice of humble pie against Buffalo.
See, that's why you are a wise man. That's why you are the wise man, unlike Mike O'Hara, who disagrees with pretty much everything. What? Mike O'Hara's agreeing with me? What? Is the moon blue today? What is going on?
Yeah, but Kenny and Nick, I really think what lies ahead in the next 3 weeks is far more important than what happened Sunday. I mean, this, you're watching the team disintegrate before your eyes.
Yeah, it's not disintegrate, no, Mike. It's
what is it?
It's
I mean, play by piece by piece by piece.
Yeah, but it's not disintegrate. As it just
Booger
falls
McFarland.
Out.
Booger McFarland tweeted this: the Lions have used 29 different starters on defense.
Yeah.
And they're about to use probably two or three more next week.
Two more.
It's crazy.
Well, look, the good part is the positions that were hurt, we're going to get to the injuries. I know, Roddy, you must be on the injury bug because you ready for me to get these injuries out because this is the fourth time in a row you didn't see an injury. I was trying to hold up until we got finished with yesterday.
Why?
Before we get into
what I was talking about.
All right, let's close off the Buffalo talk now. Josh Allen, best you've seen this year?
Best, yeah. Not even close.
Roddy?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm not even going to talk about it. Big, can't tackle him. I tell you, the one play that was great to me, even though it didn't do anything, because I think they missed a field goal, the 60-yarder to Coleman, where he just shook a guy down the line, guy leaped for his legs, didn't get him. He just points his finger down, keep going, and just like from the side, just launches a 50, 60-yarder in the air, man. I mean, damn. That's athletic is all get out. He's big, can't tackle, and can run. He's the best I've seen. He's better. Right now, he's better than Mahomes. I'm sorry. He is.
What about Lamar?
Lamar's a different type of quarterback, though. And right now, he's, even though Lamar had a hell of a day yesterday, he's playing better than Lamar, I think. He's not throwing interceptions. He's not doing that dumb stuff that he used to do. Remember, Allen was always good for doing some dumb play during a game and a turnover. He's not making that turnover now. Because even though the Lions, they got ran on yesterday, I'm not impressed with the running back. I'm not impressed with Amari Cooper didn't even give it a pass yesterday. I had to go back and look and see if he played. You know? And
I mean, they saw the matchup advantage. It was with the running backs. Who knew Ty Johnson to have his revenge against the Lions?
Well, only me, because I discovered him. But that's a whole other story for a whole other day.
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you have us keep him?
Yeah, well, me and Mike were talking the other day about trying to find out when did he get cut. Did he get cut during the Patricia era? Did he get cut when Campbell took him?
Yeah.
With the Patricia era?
For sure.
Well, there you go.
So.
Okay, well, there you go. You ask him why it happened, there you go. You know? Because I think Patricia was the one that cut, Van Noy too?
Well, he's also the one who drafted him, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. I'm just saying, you know. All right, so the Lions are 12-2. The world is falling. They can't make the Super Bowl, according to the morning shows on Detroit radio this morning. And don't get me started on these people. Look, ladies and gentlemen, you come to the K&M podcast. We give you what we think. There may be a minor bit of whining, I will admit, but it's very minor. But I'm not just going to give you radio talk just to keep you listening for 3 hours on some bull that I don't even believe myself. So when you come in here, this is what we do. We do sports talk. All right.
Well, let me tell you right now, I'm not sitting here for 3 hours, so hurry up, buddy.
So anyway, I'm not going to sit there. The world is over today, and they can't win the Super Bowl. And if these two teams play it again, I'm not saying they can't beat them the next time. But yesterday, they weren't beating them. Yesterday. No. But a month from now, no telling who's back for us, who's gone from them, who's playing good at the time, what's going on at a neutral site, which would be New Orleans if they play again. No telling. So don't get your if you remember last year, Kansas City lost the first game to Detroit. They ended up winning the Super Bowl. Gee, how did that happen? That's the way it happens, okay? So let's move on to the bad stuff. First of all, we got to rid ourselves of all these pickups the last couple of weeks on defense. The Quans, Alexanders, and the Jamal Adams. Nice guys, I'm sure. You know, but you're not getting much out of these guys. It's nothing coming out of there.
So you want to cut them?
Let's try four new people, man. I mean, like, I just all right. They like disposable rappers, man. Let's try four new ones because you're not getting nothing out of them, man. And I just, you know, the pass defense yesterday from the linebackers, and we'll have Alex Anzalone on the Mitch Albom show today, 4:30 this afternoon, which we will. I told him at last week we talked to him that it took 30 guys to take his place. But I was just being facetious, but it does take a lot of guys because he's a good cover guy. Him and Rodriguez were good linebackers in coverage. And you can see now Jack Campbell's the only thing back there between anarchy and scores. I've never seen open running backs out of the backfield that open this whole year. Missed assignments by linebackers, missed tackling. It was just a bad, bad day.
That wide open for touchdowns, not even touched.
That's what I'm saying. And even the one run by Cook up the middle. Now, you can blame other linebackers or not, but I just never saw a guy go straight up the middle 41 yards like that. You know, that just wasn't happening. But it happened yesterday. So, anyway, we'll talk about the replacements for those people in a minute. Injury note. First quarter, Carlton Davis down. already suffering from a broken thumb, which he's got a cast on. It looked like it was just concussion protocol at first. Turns out, broken jaw, 6 weeks.
Wow. How do you get a broken jaw?
I don't know. I looked at the play, and did he go under his helmet with his knee or something? Because he was making a tackle, like, or he was in a pile. It looked like somebody kneed his face. But anyway, he went straight down afterwards. So, Carlton Davis, though, if you look at his career, he's been known to be injured. So, we knew that coming in. Remember, last year with Tampa Bay, he was hurt. So
he's always missed a couple.
He's always two to three games.
Yeah.
Always. So, you know, I think they were prepared for that.
Well, he's already missed those games this year. So, now this is a season under, though. I mean, he's already missed a couple of games earlier in the year.
So 6 weeks, if my math serves me correctly, might be NFC Championship game if you get there. So we'll see. He won't be eating. So will he keep his weight up? Will he keep his strength up? I mean, well, he won't. He'll have his jaw wired shut. He won't be eating. So, you know, keeping his weight up, keeping his strength, that's going to be a hard thing when you're just doing shakes for like the next 4 weeks.
And he won't be arguing because he can't.
You can't tell him. Right. You're going to eat something? Okay. So he's gone. The biggest blow, though, was Aleem McNeil on a no-touch play. Turns out torn ACL, done for the year. That's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. But I'm telling you now, it's not going to hurt as bad as you guys think.
And that's why, because
he's a great player. Pro bowler to me, close to pro bowler. I think Anzarike is going to play better next to Reader and will make up for that. Because I saw Anzarike in camp and I've seen him all the time. He'll make up 70% of what McNeil does if you put him in tackle and leave him. He's been playing in and moving him around. He's been spelling those guys. Watch and see if he doesn't come to perform these next three games. Mark my words, unless he gets hurt, which, you know, which is happening. That's what happens on this team.
He's got to make it through those three games.
Yeah, he's got to make it through, but I think he'll be all right. You got to get the Costco guy out of wax again, Broderick Martin, who was inactive yesterday. Costco shopping cart. Get him out, roll him out there on the field, and you got to play him. You got to sink or swim now, big fella. And if you're going to get rolled around, try to roll toward the right when they're rolling you around. That's all you got.
Why the right?
Well, you know, because that's to the strong side where Jack Campbell is. Just roll. If they're going to push you, have them push you right. So, now what do you got? I heard a name last night. Michael Harris is going to like this. Roddy, I heard it. Do you make a call to Sue?
Sue? I've been on this for a couple of years. Yes, you do.
Yeah, Mike, but he hadn't played a damn near 2 years.
Call Aaron Donald, too. Come on.
Okay, why don't we call Lawrence Taylor, see what he got left. I mean, you just call it every retired player.
Why not?
But I'm serious about Sue. Do you call him?
Yes.
I would, yes.
I'm serious about Donald, too.
I would have done it a while ago.
You know what he looks like now, and how long would it take him to get ready to play a game? You only got 3 weeks left.
That's okay.
All right. You know, even for a Minnesota game.
Okay.
You know he's gonna negotiate with you.
Okay. He ain't coming for free. Trust me on that.
No, he's not coming for free.
He ain't coming for free. That's right. Get your wallet out, Rod Wood. Okay, so you got that going. The last injury just came before we started this podcast, and I don't know how to take it yet because it's a Schefter report, but they're not sure of the severity yet. But
Oh, yeah.
Running back David Montgomery,
yep,
a.k.a. Knuckles, could be out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's not as huge either. It's big, but it's not huge. It's big. But I would rather have – you can get, Craig Reynolds or whatever to fill in carries. Not as good, but you got other bigger backs. I think the Gibbs injury would be the more crushing to the offense. I think
he's not the one who's hurt, though. We're talking about somebody else.
No, I'm saying Montgomery, you can replace a little bit. You got bigger backs. So I'm not too – Vaki can get more run now, which I'm impressed with Vaki. I don't know how you guys are, but I think Vaki will get a little more run now. So, and then you'll just have more touches for Gibbs the rest of the season, and, you'll intersperse the other big back. So, but you're going to miss him, no doubt, because that's what he is. And I hope it's an MCL sprain where he's only out 3 or 4 weeks and can be back for the playoffs. Let's keep our fingers crossed on that. But I knew something happened yesterday because he got hurt early, didn't he, Roddy? And he kind of came back, but he wasn't the same.
I mean, they never even really tried to run the ball because they were behind so much. They only had 13 design runs. Goff ran the ball twice, so they were just off script all game. They tried to run the ball on the first drive. They went 3 and out, and then they were behind the entire game and needed to catch up. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'd rather have Gibbs playing than Montgomery just because of the kind of dual threat.
Right.
Montgomery can catch the ball. Montgomery had a couple nice grabs yesterday.
Yeah, but you don't have a guy who does similar stuff to Gibbs. You have a couple of guys that are not as good but do similar things to Montgomery. You know, big back can get in there and get a yard inside or whatever. So that's why I said I'd rather – I wouldn't neither one of them be hurt, but I'd rather, if I got to replace one for a while, I could try to make it by. Got to put this out there. Mr. Media Thursday, Mr. Showboat, Mr. Instagram, Mr. Me, Jameson Williams, you got to catch the ball. You got to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm going to give him credit for growing in a way. Because when they scored the last touchdown with like 15 seconds left or whatever, no celebrating, went right to the sideline. I see growth there. Because a year ago, he would have made a show for himself and put a little, he just knew it and got down to the sideline. So I see growth from the young man.
Growth is getting off the field, right?
But you got to catch the ball. I'm going to tell you right now, he's got 5 touchdowns on the year, right?
Yep.
Tim Patrick's got 3 in the last 2 games. Tim Patrick is coming up as to be J-Mo is, even keel. He's not down, but he's not up. Tim Patrick's got an up arrow right now, and that's good for the rest of this season.
Yeah, I'm thinking, is he in the Lions' plans for the future? And I'm probably not thinking about it right now, but I wonder if he is.
The way they falling out, Mike, I don't think you can plan a future because every week, that blue tent, I'll tell you right now, you need to take the damn zipper off the blue tent because it's a constant going in. So just leave it open because that blue tent has seen more work this year than I've ever seen the blue tent. That injury, man, yeah. They just falling out. Jeez. Who will you guys think they're going to replace Carlton Davis with?
Well, I hope to see Emmanuel Mosley get some action this year.
Yeah.
We got to get him to the active roster first, so it's no excuse. If he ain't on the active roster this week, then why is he on the squad? Because this is an active list every week. He might as well be in monogram because his name is the first one on him. And what's the guard's name? I always dog.
Thorsdal.
So it should be coming from the printer with their names already on it. And then you add the other names of the people that ain't playing. Because those two, it's a weekly thing, man. a monogram injury report. Sorsdale, Emmanuel Mosley, and fill in the rest. I'm going to tell you another thing, too. I'm going to tell you another thing while I'm hot today. I'm going to tell you another thing, too. I never thought we would miss Trevor Nowoski as bad as we did yesterday. Because remember I told you a couple weeks ago he had to step up and he was middling. I think part of the defensive problem was he wasn't there too. Because you only had Jack Campbell as the only linebacker that was experienced. You had guys from other teams experience, but Trevor Dombrowski was missed yesterday. Can we agree to that?
You know, I never thought about it, so I'm going to have to get back to you on this
one. All right. Roddy?
I think it's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, he might have been missed a little bit, but I don't think he would have made a huge difference in the result of the game. I mean, it's bad when Brian Branch has 15 tackles. That means no one else is getting anything done in front of him.
I love that guy, man.
I do want to say this. Jared Goff, surprisingly mobile yesterday. Uh-huh. He stepped out of how many sacks and moved around. I was impressed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. He wasn't the white Michael Vick, is that's what we're talking about, okay?
Did I say that?
The way you bought, it was the next thing out of your mouth, you going to say he was going for 1,000. But I was, okay, I'm just saying. He's better this year at manipulating the pocket and, like you said, moving and getting, if you need 4 yards, can get it. And I agree with you on that. But what I like about him too, Roddy, is that he keeps his eyes downfield, because a couple of times, like the touchdown to Gibbs, he moved out of the pocket, looked like he was going to roll down, saw Gibbs straight up, gave him the ball, touchdown. You know, so I agree with that. I thought Jared Goff played a good game yesterday. And under normal circumstances, when you throw for 496 yards and 5 TDs, people are talking about you. But no, nobody's talking about him today because of Josh Allen. Righty, Mike?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think they're talking about him a little bit. I mean, it's funny how he throws 5 touchdowns and loses, but throws 5 picks against Houston and wins.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Goes to show you.
They said he was the only player, quarterback ever, to have a 400 and some yard game, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, and lose. He's the only one. Yep. So, another thing, Lions offensive line. Houston, we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem.
How are you going to say that
would hurt?
Nah, it's just a bad game by Ragnow. I didn't, you know, the one time he got ragged, though. I've never seen Ragnow just blown out like that, but, you know, it happens every now and then. And the great Ed Oliver was on the side, who people of this podcast know that I have been preaching, trying to get since they took Hockenson instead of him, and everybody tried to dog me. I thought,
you know, Hockenson, that flop, you know.
It wasn't a flop, but you don't need a tight end in the top 10, as you see now by the tight end we have. Got him in the second round. So, and who had a 100-yard game yesterday? Let's give it up to our tight end, maybe, Sam LaPorta.
All right, Sam, we're with you.
And you know who's a tight end on the other side was a tight end that was drafted before Sam LaPorta, Kincaid.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
He's just getting back from injury. I mean, he's been pretty good.
Oh, look at Mr. Excuse Maker here.
What are you making me out to be? Like a Lions hater?
I don't know what your deal is today, man. What you have in your Cheerios this morning?
I didn't have Cheerios. But I want to point this out. Remember way back in early September when we were questioning Amon-Ra St. Brown? Is there enough ball to go around? Is he going to get his touches after only having 3 catches in the opening game against the Rams? 14 catches on 18 targets yesterday, almost 200 yards. Can we not, like, jump to some crazy proclamations after week one like we did earlier this season?
And are you from France?
He's got 100 catches.
Are you from France? Where's this wee stuff coming from? Where's this wee stuff?
Okay. Wait, you. How about that?
Wait, what? Now you're from Yugoslavia? What do you mean, you?
What did I say?
I didn't say a thing, man.
Okay. We can play the tape.
Au revoir.
Yeah, you're right. Look. Even Ken Brown and the Caden podcast, I know they get a little over the top it now and then. So I can understand it was early in the season. And I was just worried. I'll tell you one thing. If he get 3 catches or if he get 15 catches, he's the same guy. He's not going to complain. You're not going to see Stephen Diggs on him. You're not going to see A.J. Brown out of him. He's just going to do his thing. But let's not kiss his butt now either. He dropped the ball and fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. All right. We don't forget about that now. Right? You want to talk about
me or you?
I'm just saying he made a couple of faux pas yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that was the turning point in the game.
But he didn't drop a touchdown pass like Jameson Williams. I'm not letting Jameson go. Even though that play would have been called back anyway, you still got to make the catch. You got to make that catch. And 5 touchdowns to me. And Jameson, you on notice for the next 3 weeks. I want to see at least 2 touchdowns in these next 3 games. You got to 5 touchdowns for the year with his talent. That's not enough. Not enough. So let's pick it up. Brian Branch, by the way, we were talking about him a second ago. I like the way that kid plays. Not only did he make 15 tackles, but he was scrumming up with everybody, man. One time him and the guy had their face mask held, and neither one was letting go for like a minute. I was like, okay, the ref had to come and couldn't get him pulled apart. He's just a bulldog out there. I like
him. He's a natural ball player.
Yes,
natural.
He is. I like him. Now, I might have to move him into the nickel for the rest of the year. I might have to.
You might have to move him?
Well, I think maybe that's what we need to do. Move him to the nickel, move Robertson out to the side corner, and put Infantu in at safety. That might be your best
way
to go.
What makes you think he's going to play?
Well, if he's ready.
How do you know if he's ready or not?
Well, hopefully his clock will be active. Hopefully his clock will be activated today. And if his clock is activated today. Well, hold on. If his clock is activated today, they're going to be put on the roster by Sunday, because even if they're not ready to play, they're just being active. You're not going to go out and grab some more players when these two are in your coming back. Him and who's the other guy that's the other safety? I mean, the corner. Him and Rakestraw.
Rakestraw. Oh, Rakestraw. Yeah.
So you're going to put those guys back on the active roster this week. So you got reinforcements coming for those spots. And Rakestraw can play a little nickel and probably could play some safety in a pinch if you had to. So you're covered if you want to move Branch into the nickel like he played last year. Just some things to keep an eye on, because if your linebacker's going to be bad, you better move Branch closer to the line of scrimmage, because it looks like he's going to have to do all the tackling.
Yeah, well,
no, I just trust Aaron Glenn, but
I just would not want to be in the defensive meeting room today or anytime this week.
With Aaron Glenn?
Yeah.
On a win, man. I go to those press conferences and he'll bite your head off on a win. I know what's going on today. I can see the smoke coming out of Allen Park right now. It's foggy out there. Woo! You're right, man. I wouldn't want to be there. And I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't want to be in the office in the line room this week either, because Hank, I know he's not happy with what went on yesterday. No comment on that, fellas?
I mean, I thought they played okay. There were a couple plays. I mean, they're the best team in the AFC.
Well, yeah, but you shouldn't be getting manhandled on the offensive line like that.
I don't think he was manhandled. They had 60 dropbacks and 3 sacks. So
don't forget about sacks, though. The first 2 drives is, to me, what settled the game. When they got up 14-0, the game was pretty much over then to me, because you hadn't stopped them, and they just walked the field 2 straight times. And then when you got the ball, you got 2 sacks in the second drive. You didn't get any yards in the first drive. It was they just told you right now, this is our day.
They came, like, and they said it in the post game press conferences. They came out ready to play, and the Lions didn't.
I don't know if the Lions didn't come out to play. I think the Lions were shocked by how aggressive they were. I don't think they didn't come out to play. I just think that they couldn't match it. You know, the Rams embarrassed them last week, and they just were coming out for blood. And I think the Lions were just coming out for, like, paint. They weren't coming out for blood yet, and you couldn't match them. And by the time you started to match the intensity, you were already down 14-0.
Right. They never were really threatening that much in the game either.
No.
Just sort of kind of watching it.
Right, right. They were, like, responding. They weren't taking the charge. You know, oh, we've been hit twice, maybe she hit once. You know, oh, we've been hit 3 times, we'll hit twice. But it never was like, I'm hitting you 4 times to your 3. So, all right, well, that's it. You guys got anything else to say? Because I know y'all mad at me. And people out there, you fair-weather new fans, the old fans, we know it's a long season. We know how to get through it. All you new fans, just calm down. All right? Calm down. Don't sell your Super Bowl plans already and off of 1 loss. And if you thought they were going 16-1, and I said this for weeks now, it's not going to happen. They need to get, especially with the injuries, it's just not going to happen. They're not a 16-1 team. They're a good team, and they got 12 already. You got 3 left. Let's see what we can do. And just go from there. But I tell you what, I guarantee that Chicago, this game with Chicago got their intention. It won't be that we overlooked them.
Yeah. Who you got tonight?
Yeah, they're playing tonight. Yeah, you would hope that that they have their attention, because they've given the Lions problems over the years.
Yeah, if they give them problems and win the game, it's not going to be because they didn't have the attention. That's all I'm saying. They'll just beat them. Right. But they're not going in that game looking over to San Francisco the next week. They're going to this game knowing we got to get this game. So, all right, gentlemen, that's the K&M podcast for this week. We'll come back Friday with a prediction. By Friday, they may have 15 new members on the team, because the way they're going out, man, there's no telling who's going to be there by Friday. We may have to call up.
Well, the way you want to go, you want to cut everybody. They just signed, so of course.
Blow them all out, man. And like I said, blow them all out. You tried, you brought, you know, four new faces in and can't remember one of them. Bring four more in. This guy's out there on the street.
Who's that young quarterback that they were going to send out there eventually this year? I'm still waiting for that.
You talking about Hendon Hooker?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't Hendon Hooker game yesterday. Even though, I tell you what, Hendon Hooker was close to playing yesterday, and it wasn't because they were winning. You know, when it was 35-14, one more score, you would have seen Hendon Hooker, trust me. It was time to pull him. Save the.
No, you wouldn't.
The way guys were getting injured, man, after that, I'd have pulled the whole squad. I'd have got Corby Soares dealing the uniform. Go get him a uni.
So he's going to run out there in street clothes?
Yeah. Trust me, Mike. Trust me. What we have known. So, all right. So, two things to look for. Like I said, Costco Martin this week. And Kobe, I need to dress Horsdale. Those are two guys I'm looking forward to this week. Let's get them in. Let's get them out there. All hands on deck, people.
Oh, that sounds good to me.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later. That's Nick Roddy, Morning Show on WJR. Michael Hare, Lions aficionado. Ken Brown from the Mitch Elm Show on WJR. Alex Anzalone, 4:30 this afternoon on Monday. And we will talk about the linebacker situation in a room that has changed over from the beginning of the season and his timetable for recovery. So we'll talk about that. Thank you, guys. See you Friday.
See ya.
All right, Ken.